All right. Good to be here this morning, and just appreciate the opportunity to be here, and it's a privilege to come and see where Brother Noah is now pastoring. And I tell you, when I first met Brother Noah, Pastor Downing, okay, I got to get used to that, don't I, okay? But when I first met Pastor Noah, I had called the college, Heartland Baptist Bible College, and Heartland Baptist Bible College is just a very good college, exceptional college, and I had sent about 12 to 15 teenagers over the years to the college, and so anyway was interested. I used to be a youth pastor for over 20 years, and I was interested as far as who they had that was graduating right then, and so I was at the church, needed somebody, and I called my son, who was youth pastoring in New Mexico, and I said, you wouldn't be interested in coming out there, coming out to help me, would you? And he said, Dad, you know I gave a five-year commitment out here, and he said, I can't come back. And anyway, I said, I know, but I thought I'd give it a shot. And I said, who do you know that is graduating that would be top-notch? And he said, he graduated the year before, and he said, well, in this coming class, I know three guys that you could call. And so he gave me three names, and one of them was Noah Downing. And so I called, did my research, did my homework, and I called the college, and I spoke with financial advisor, well, really vice president there, and spoke with him, and I also spoke with the dean of the college. And when I spoke with the vice president of the college and gave him the three names, there was this long pause, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I got the wrong three names, okay? Maybe I don't want these guys. And I said, is there a problem? And he said, no, sir. He said, the three names you gave me, though, he said, you didn't beat around the bush. He said, you went straight to the top. And he said, the cream of the crop. And he said, these three guys are exceptional. And anyway, to make a long story short, Pastor Noah came out, and we met with him, and he interned for that summer, and we hired him, and he was such a blessing to our church. And he'd do anything, all right? I do mean anything, and he was always busy. How many of you have noticed that he's always busy, okay? He's just moving all the time. And it's hard to see him ever sitting still or stopped in a way. But he would do anything. And I actually had a freezer one time that had been moved, and when the nephew moved it, he forgot to unplug it. And it was loaded full of meat, and I didn't find out about it till like a week later. It was out in the garage, and I thought, what is that smell? And I could hardly even go into the garage, and I opened that freezer and I slammed the door, and man, I just about lost it. And I remember Brother Noah had worked in an ER, and he had made the comment before. He goes, yeah, smells don't bother me really, and you know. And I said, you said smells don't bother you. Will you come over and ditch this meat? And so he'll do anything. If any of you have a freezer, go on the blink, give him a call. And he came over with big garbage bags and just stood there just shoveling the meat into it. And I couldn't even stand in the garage. I couldn't even stand there. And it just smelled that bad. And he took it off. I said, where'd you put it? He goes, Pastor, you don't want to know, okay? So I don't know where he took it. But he'd do anything. And how many of you, do you have bagworms here?
I haven't seen it.
Don't you miss bagworms? No. Okay. On pine trees, pines, evergreens, bagworms attach themselves, and they hang there in little cocoons. And I told him, I said, we had a shrub lost, and I found out about the bagworms, and I said, you're going to have to take care of the bagworms. So he'd go out a couple times a year and pick all the bagworms off and put them. And one time I went to lunch, and I came back, And when I came back, he said, boy, I'm glad you took a little longer for lunch. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, I did something with the bagworms that I probably shouldn't have done. He said, remember we said how creepy they looked? And, you know, and I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I thought it'd be a funny joke to put them in a bucket and put them inside your truck, Pastor. And he said, but I didn't realize that they could crawl. Like, really, with those cocoons? I thought they were in cocoons and would stay. And he said, I didn't realize they'd crawl. And he said, I went by, you weren't back from lunch yet, I went by the truck and I looked, and he goes, bagworms were crawling everywhere, all inside of your truck. And he said, man, he goes, I picked them all up real quick and got rid of them. And I said, well, good, I'm glad you did, okay? He was just a real blessing and a real help. We miss his quirkiness, too. He's very quirky. Show us your socks today, Brother Noah, okay? And he would wear bright red argyle and just different bright yellow argyle. And, you know, our church people, they love that. This is my extent of living it up, okay, on the socks. And I actually have little tiny dots on my socks. But he just is a little quirky. Bow ties, has he worn bow ties here? Oh, you haven't. He has a slew of bow ties, and he'd wear bow ties and different things, and just a little bit quirky and things on different things, all right? But I tell you what, he was a blessing to us. He really was. Quirkiness, he also names all his possessions. Is your current van named?
I don't think it is.
No? You're slipping, okay? But he had a little white car, and he named it Altoid, like the Altoid mints, because it was small and white, and that was Altoid. Is your printer still named Jeeves, was it? Oh, his computer was named Jeeves. And he always gave names, so just quirky. He even named his kids. Can you believe that? And he's quirky. He's just different that way, okay? And I don't know, but I tell you what, he was a blessing to us. He really was. And you have a good, good man here. And I tell you what, there are some larger churches that would be privileged to have him. You know, he's got a knowledge of the Word of God. He's one who studies. He's one that loves the Lord. He has his family in order. He's just a blessing. He loves people. He loves the ministry, and has a talent with music. And boy, him and his wife can sing. And he's just a blessing. And I hope that you'll appreciate what you have there. And you've got potential in this church, and this church can do great and mighty things, not because of him, but because of him serving the Lord. And the Lord can do great and mighty things in this church. But I tell you what, just appreciate him and honor him. And you know, the Bible tells us to do that. The Bible tells us that we ought to honor the pastor. And take your Bibles, if you will, today, and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And the title of the message this morning is this, Lifting Up Holy Hands. Lifting Up Holy Hands. Verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Are you getting this? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, that's God's desire, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, we're taking for our text this morning verse 8, and verse 8 says this, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We ought to be lifting up our holy hands as far as in prayer. We ought to be lifting up our holy hands without wrath and doubting. He says there that men everywhere ought to be doing that. I ought to be doing that. You ought to be doing that. Every man, meaning mankind, every man, woman, boy, and girl should be participating in that. Now, it's not talking about, though, a physical way to pray. You know, we don't do this as far as, well, the Bible says lift up holy hands, and so God, I'm lifting up holy hands now, and we don't do that, or we don't say, I'm going to pray now, and some people might do that, and if they're doing it in the honesty and sincerity of the heart, I guess there's nothing wrong with that, all right? But as a whole, we don't do that. So are we breaking God's word by not lifting up physical hands? No, I think what it's primarily speaking of here is the spiritual aspect of it. You think about it's not really praying just because you're lifting up hands. It's praying because of the attitude behind the hands. It's the attitude behind the person. It's the attitude and spirit life of the individual inside. And so when we're lifting up our prayers, we're lifting them up, not just hands, but we're lifting them up with our spirit and our attitude. It's not enough to just go through the motions of prayer, in other words. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray this, Lord, my soul to keep, okay? Or some that would say the Lord's Prayer. And while those are nothing wrong with them in and of themselves, if we're just going through the motions of prayer and just going through the physical idea of it, be it with hands folded or eyes closed or saying the same words over and over, then we're missing out on it. What it's talking about is lifting up holy hands. And this deals with, again, that Christian attitude, that pattern which the Lord says, this needs to be behind your prayer, all right? You know, people today in this world, they lift up a lot of things, don't they? What is the attitude? You know, you take as far as sports figures, and you take those sports figures, and people will lift them up, and they don't physically lift them up, all right? But they'll say, man, did you see this play? Did you see that awesome? Did you see that touchdown? Did you see the move that this guy made? And they lift up sports figures. They lift up entertainers. And they'll say, man, did you hear this song? Did you see this guy? And did you watch his program? And did you hear their new album? And things of that nature. And you know, there's all kinds of pleasure that we lift up. There's all kinds of convenience that we lift up. There's all kinds of music that people lift up. There's all kinds of people lift up money, don't they? And the Bible says the love of money, you know what they're doing? If it's the love of money, it's not money in and of itself, but it's that love of money and lifting that up. Fame and self, you can lift yourself up. And you can say, you know what? I'm the most important. I'm number one. And it doesn't matter anyone else around me. And so, you know, I'm going to promote myself. I'm going to put myself forward. I'm going to be the success. I'm going to have the fame. I am going. And there's too many eyes in there. And so we can lift ourselves up. Sometimes people lift up education. And I've even seen where Christian parents, as a youth pastor over 20 years, where Christian parents, they would say something like this. They would say, the child would say, you know, I think I'm going to go to Bible college. And the parents would say something like, don't waste your time. Okay? You know, go instead to a university. Go get a real education. And I'm thinking to myself, are these Christian parents? And you know, and these are struggles that I guess everyone goes through with as far as, you know, sometimes getting caught up in these things. But God says we're to be lifting up different things than unbelievers do. Amen? We ought to be lifting up things that God wants promoted, that God wants lifted up. And while there's nothing wrong with sports, I don't think God wants, I don't think God's interest today and priority today is to lift up certain sports people and say, yep, you know, let's lift him up. Let's lift that individual up. I don't think that's God's purpose, is it? God's purpose is to lift up his things and holy things. And so that's the reason that we're to do things differently than the world. And we're to be even different in prayers. In fact, verse 8 comments, we are to lift up holy hands. In other words, as we lift things up, the holiness behind it all and the holiness surrounding what we're lifting up. So you think about that and you think about lifting up holy hands. And I think there are some things we need to lift up. First of all, we can lift up Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is supreme. That's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so as supreme, you think about different verses in the Bible. In John chapter 3 and verse 14 that says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. All right? John 12, 32, Jesus himself said this, and if I be lifted up from the earth will draw all men unto me. And through our testimonies, we ought to be lifting up Jesus Christ. By the things you do, sir, by the things you say, ma'am, by the conduct that you have, by your appearance and your attitude and everything that we do ought to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how we need to not follow the crowd, we need to stand above the crowd. The crowd follows all the other things of the world that I mentioned. That's what they lift up. We ought to be lifting up Jesus Christ. And so that is so very, very important, because as we lift him up in his power and glory, then certainly he will draw all men unto him and people's lives will be changed. Let me ask you here this morning, are you lifting up Jesus Christ in your life? Does your life reflect? Think about it. Consider it. Weigh it out. And think, in my actions, in my speech, in my attitudes towards people, in the things that I do, the places that I go, think about it. Are we lifting up Christ? Something else we ought to lift up. And, you know, verse 6 tells us as far as that he was testified in due time. Do you know what this book here does? This book testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to be lifting up the Word of God. And it is so important. It's more important than any other earthly possession that you own. You might have 4 or 5 Bibles. You might have 6 or 8 Bibles. And you might say, well, you know, Bible, I can get another one, preacher. But actually, it is the most important possession that you have, because it is a spiritual book. It is a book that the Bible tells us that changes lives. It's a book that when it's preached, that as it is preached, that it is that which causes faith in people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that what God tells us? This is a pretty important book. Faith doesn't come by our possessions, by our cars, by our houses. And certainly, you can have a nice house. You can have a nice car. I have a nice car. I'm glad I have a nice car. I have a nice house. I'm glad I have a nice house. But those aren't the most important things in life. We ought to be lifting up God's Word. And Psalm 138, verse 2, I love this verse. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Think of this. The Bible tells us there in the book of Psalms, and is God's word true? God's word is true. And so the Bible here is telling us, God's word is telling us in truth, that the Bible is even magnified above God's name. You say, well, how can that be? Are we worshiping the book? No, we're worshiping the Savior. But how do you know about the Savior? If this book were gone, if this book were something you never held, that you never heard, that you never read, that no one had ever told you about, what would you know about God Almighty? Nothing. What would you know about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bled and died on the cross of Calvary for your sins? Nothing. What would you know about sin? Nothing. It'd be every man's opinion, and every man would do that which is right in his own eyes. What would you know about heaven? Nothing. What would you know about hell? Nothing. We'd be no different than the animals. That's why God says, you want to worship me? You want to worship me as creator? Then lift up this book because it is important, because this book is that which testifies of me. And this book is that which tells us about the Savior. And He says, that's why I've magnified it even above all my name. We should lift up His word. Psalm 119 verse 48 says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Job said in Job 23 verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, you can tell I like food, all right? This guy, I don't know. I don't even know. You know what? You need to fix him though for Thanksgiving? Sweet potato casserole.
Yeah.
He loves sweet potato casserole. All right. How did that first happen? Did he say he loved it, or did his mom say he loved it?
Yeah.
All right. His mom sarcastically said, and sometimes over the phone or text, you don't know, and she goes, "Oh, Noah loves sweet potato casserole." Oh, you know. And my wife went, oh, good, he loves sweet potato casserole. And we had some other friends coming over one Thanksgiving, and so all of us are there at my house, and we had Thanksgiving dinner together on Thanksgiving, and my wife said, well, if Noah loves it and our friends love it, I'm making a double batch. And so we passed everything around, and sweet potato casserole was going around, and when it came to him, he passed it, And I went, wait, why aren't you taking any sweet potato casserole? He goes, oh, I can't stand sweet potato casserole. And I'm like, you eat anything. I mean anything. Anything hot, anything spicy, anything weird. I mean, and all kinds. I mean, just he eats weird stuff. And I said, but you won't eat sweet potato casserole. And he went, nope. So fix him some. He'll love it, okay? But you know, I love food. But here Job said, you know what? This is more important than all your possessions. This is more important, Job said, than my necessary food. This is the word of God, and we ought to lift it up. Do you lift it up? You can't lift it up if you're not reading it. You can't lift it up if you're not studying it. You can't lift it up if you're not applying it to your life. There's two teenagers back here, and Brother Noah knows that after being a youth pastor over 20 years, and I took a pastorate, and now I'm a pastor, but I still sort of I zero over on Brother Noah's teens. And sometimes I just chat with them for about 5 minutes. But I asked these two young men before church, I said, are you behaving yourselves? No, I said, are you serving God? And they said, well, I'm trying. And I said, you got to do more than try. Just do it. I said, you ever hear that before? Yeah, where at? Nike. Well, if Nike tells you just do it, you know what? You can just do it. Serve God. You two young men back there, what was it? Keegan, was it? All right, and then there was Colton and Chris, right? And where's Colton there? Chris back there? You three guys, just do it. Serve God. Don't make excuse. Don't go out of here and get with your buddies and hang out with them and do what they're doing and say, well, you know, it's okay. It'll be fine. No, it's not fine. Just serve God. You do what's right. And He'll honor you for it. He'll bless you for it. And He'll use you in a great way for it. But serve Him. But here, do you lift up God's word? All right. Then prayer. We ought to lift up prayer. Number three. You know, that's what the text specifically mentions. Lift up prayer. And Psalm 63:4 says this, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." We pray in Jesus' name, don't we? I heard that here today. Psalm 141 verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Psalm 134 verse 2, "Lift up your hands." Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to their ground." You know what? We ought to pray. And what does the text specifically say we ought to pray for? Verse 1 says, it says specifically that all men should be praying. And it says here that giving of thanks be made for all men. So who should you pray for? All men. All men. I'm not even going to ask you if you have somebody in your life that you don't really care for. In fact, you may not like them. In fact, if their name's mentioned, you might even be like, ugh. I'm not even going to ask you about it. Because I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But every one of us in our lives has probably been there at one time or another. Or at least the majority. But you know what? You ought to pray for them. Didn't Jesus say, pray for those who despitefully use you? We ought to pray for our enemies. We ought to pray for those that we dislike, that they dislike us. That when you see them across the road or you see them in the store, you're like, and they're looking back at you going, and you're like, I can growl bigger than you can growl. You know, and it's not really physical growling. It's just all done with the eyes, you know, like in the attitude. But we ought to pray for all men. And it's so important because men, women, boys, and girls are those that Jesus Christ died for. Amen. Jesus loved his enemies. Aren't you glad? Amen. Because I was one of those enemies, and so were you, ma'am. So were you, sir. Yep. Weren't we enemies of the Lord? Amen. Before we were saved, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were the enemies of God. I mean, aren't you glad that Jesus loved us, though? Amen. Aren't you glad He had compassion? And sometimes we're just stinkers, for lack of a better word. And we just have an attitude towards people sometimes, and it's not right. It's not right. You know. You folk ought to bless people from Ohio. Amen, brother? And you know what? Praise God for people from Texas. And even praise God for people from Oklahoma. How many of you are from Oklahoma? All right, a couple in here. You know, you ought to thank God for one another. You know, it's so important. But in our prayers, we ought to lift up sinners unto the Lord. And we need to pray for the lost. We need to witness to the lost. That's lifting them up. When you witness to them, you're taking them before God in prayer. You're taking them before God when you give them a tract. You're taking them before God and you're saying, I care about this soul. And God, I want you to save that soul. And God, here's a soul that you died for. And we need to plead with the lost for them to be saved. And how many of you know someone lost? Raise your hand. Put seriously, raise your hand if you know someone lost. Okay? Everyone in here knows somebody lost. Do you realize they're going to spend eternity in hell? Forever. It might be a dad or a mom. Boy, I wouldn't want my daddy and mommy to go to hell. It might be a brother or a sister. I wouldn't want my brother or sister going to hell. Might be an aunt or an uncle, might be a neighbor, might be a coworker. That coworker is so friendly, so nice, and maybe you've never told them about Christ. You got to lift them up in prayer. It's so very important. How much time do I have here, Brother Noah? I'm running out, aren't I? Yeah, I'm running out. Be honest, brother. In our prayers, we need to lift up kings and officials of the lands. But I want us to transition here to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Exodus 17, verse 8. And I would like Mark and Andy to come up here and their dad to come up here, if you would, please. Where's Mark and Andy? Okay. Dad, sit right here. Okay, Brother Tom and Mark and Andy on each side. Okay, if you guys can do that, I'd appreciate it. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Notice what it says. Then came Amalek. Aren't you glad you're sitting down?
Sure.
They're having to stand up?
Right.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. And Moses said unto Joshua in Exodus 17, 9, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. We have Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Sorry, brother. Somebody had to do it, okay? And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands, all right, keep them there, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. So he's trying to lift them up. And they're getting heavy, all right? And so he puts them down. And so what did they do? They took a stone and they put it under him and he sat thereon, okay? And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. Stay up his hands there. All right? Now, if you had to hold your hands up, Brother Tom, if you had to hold your hands up for, let's say, 2, 3, let's say 6 or 8, let's say 10 or 12 hours like Moses did, probably 10 or 12 for the whole day, do you think your hands would get a little tired?
Probably.
Yeah. No, not probably. They would. All right? And here's two fellas, though, that stepped up to the plate. Here's two fellas that stepped up and said, you know what? We're going to do this. Now, you know what? You consider this, all right? And Israel had the victory because of it. But when I think of lifting up holy hands this morning, I'm not thinking of just lifting up our holy hands, but I'm thinking of lifting up somebody else's holy hands. Some of you have some parents that are godly parents. Some of you have some parents that maybe aren't godly parents. But you know what? The Bible still says, though, that you ought to lift up the hands of your mother and father. The Bible says that you ought to lift up the hands of them. And it specifically tells us in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Put his hands down. Every time you hear the word honor, I want you to lift up his hands. Every time you hear the word obey, do the same thing. Exodus 20, 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5, 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And although our parents are human, we're also to obey them. You want to lift up holy hands here? We ought to be lifting up the hands of our parents, okay? And they're our God-given authority. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And as Israel had the victory of when their leader and their authority's hands was lifted up, your family will have victory. Your family will have a great defeat over the enemies around it when you lift up the hands of your parents. By the way, wives, you should also lift up the hands of your husband. It's important. He is the leader of the house. And I know we live in a day and age where women's rights are there and equality and all that. And I do believe in equality. If a woman is working the same as a man, she ought to get paid the same. I believe in that kind of equality. But in the home, there's still structure. Just like an army has structure. Just like government has structure. In the home, there's structure. There's organization. And God said the leader is the husband, the father. And how you children need to lift up the hands of your parents, but also wives, lift up the hands of your husbands. Thank you. You all three may be seated.
I'm already sitting.
We'll just leave that there, brother. Thank you. We got to lift up the hands of our parents. But what about our pastor? Pastor Noah, I want you to sit right there. He's young, but he has a responsibility before God for everyone here today. It's a responsibility. He's young, but he has a responsibility to study and to give out to the people, to the sheep, the Word of God. How many times a week do you preach, teach?
Three.
Three times. Three messages. Every week. Every week. Every week. Every week. Every week. Except this week. I'm preaching. Okay? But you think about it. Okay? You think about the work that's involved in that. And then we sit back and we're like, he just didn't flip my trigger today, you know? He just didn't float my boat today. You know, what he preached today was just, sure wasn't like when he first came here. But he's got three messages a week to preach. Does he have people to visit? Yep. He has people to visit. Does he have doors to knock on? To try to build the church? Does he have prayer to be made? Yep. He's got responsibilities as far as the administration of this church and seeing that things are done decently and in order. Do you realize that though he's young, do you realize he's got a lot on him? And you say, well, Pastor Tom did it. And he had a lot on him, didn't you, brother? I know I've got a lot on me. And so you consider that. And we can armchair quarterback, or we can do something for our pastor. And I would like Brother Jeff and Brother Dennis, come on up here. You already know the drill, okay? You know what's coming, don't you? But here's your pastor. All right, Moses. Which one's Aaron? Which one's Aaron here?
I'll be Aaron.
Okay. All right. And this is her. Okay. All right. All right. You take those as far as the pastor. Our text in 1 Timothy chapter 2 here in verse 1 and verse 8 says, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2 says, for kings. But it also says, and for all that are in authority. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. Do you think this would refer to our pastors? Yeah. And so here, to pray for them. I hope you're praying for him. I hope you're not just sitting back today going, well, yeah, he's a good pastor. Yeah, I support him. But you're not praying for him. I hope you're praying for him. I hope you are. And here specifically, it says, for all that enter in authority. And then it says, why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know why? Because there's a big battle going on. And just like Israel faced that big battle, if they wanted peace and quietness and to live that peaceable life, they had to win that victory. They had to win that battle. And Moses was tired. Moses was worn. Moses was, you know, he had a lot on him. And I tell you what, even though Brother Noah is young, he's got a lot on him, and you ought to pray for him. And shame, shame on us if we do not pray for our pastor. And specifically, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12 also says this, "We beseech you, brethren," that means I beg you, you fellow believers, I'm begging you. "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." He's laboring. "And are over you in the Lord," that pastoral leadership, "and admonish you." He admonishes, he edifies, he sometimes reproves, but he encourages and sometimes rebukes. And then it says, verse 13, "and to esteem them very highly." Lift his hands up. Esteem them very highly. Those pastors, esteem them. That means lift them up very highly. Very highly. "In love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." You can put his hands down. Now you think about this. If we want peace in our churches, and I tell you what, I thank God for my church. Twin Rivers Baptist Church, Brother Noah, there's a unity there. Amen. And even if somebody goes, I don't know why Pastor did that, but you know what? We're going to support him. We're going to pray for him. We're going to love him. Because he's not doing anything like weird or not doing anything that's hurting the church or hurting people or causing discord. And they may say, but I don't know why he did that. But that's okay. We're going to pray for him. Boy, that's living at peace. But when you say, why did Brother Noah do that? I don't like it. I don't like it, Gertrude. I hope no one's here named Gertrude. And Gertrude looks over and goes, Isabel, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't like it either. And, you know, and it's like, well, I just think we ought to just inform others about this. Don't you? Oh, certainly, Gertrude, I think we should. Oh, you're Isabel. Never mind, okay? But back and forth, that's not living at peace among yourselves. It really isn't. And you know what? Think of Moses and the Lord. And how that it is so important. Moses used the rod of God. How did he use that rod? People might have said, why does he always use his right hand for the rod? Why can't he use the left hand? I'm left-handed, and I think he's just being prejudiced towards us, the left-handers. I wonder if anyone in Israel could have said that. They might have. Where did he get these commandments and rules, too? I mean, he came down off the mountain. He's got all these rules for us now. And he got those from God, by the way. He's leading us in a roundabout way here, isn't he, through this wilderness? I mean, we should have been there by now. We're about 22 years late. And they were... He speaks too soft for us in the back. Moses had 2 million people, and the ones in the front go, well, be up front, he's too loud for us. My point is this, can't we always find something to complain about? Amen. Why in the world does he wear those Argyle socks? They just, I don't get it. You know what? It's so important, though. It's important that we support the pastor. Something is wrong with someone when he only talks negative of God's work and God's plan. Remember the 10 spies who spied out the land? There were 12 of them, but 10 of them, remember the 10 that were negative? We can't do this. We can't do... I don't know what Brother Noah's thinking. We can't do this. It's too big of a job. There's giants, and we're not going to be able to build the church, and we're not going to be able to do that. And you know, but how he needs the two that will lift up his hands and say, Pastor, you know what? If it doesn't work, that's okay, but we're here to support you. And we want to see this church go forward. And we're behind you, Pastor. That's lifting up his hands. How important it really is. I tell you, the Lord lifts up pastors. He said this, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And how we need to remember to lift up the hands of the pastor. You say, that's Old Testament. No, we read 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. Beseech your brethren to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Thank God for your pastor who prays for you. Thank God for your pastor who weeps with you when you're weeping. Thank God for your pastor who rejoices with you when you rejoice. Thank God for a pastor who loves this church. Thank God for our pastor who will stand and preach what is right in this day and age when good is bad and bad is good. We live in an upside down world, but we ought to support the pastor. Thank you, gentlemen. Pastor Noah, you can sit back down. You guys can sit back down. And finally, you ought to lift up each other's hands. You ought to lift up each other's hands. Amen. Pray for somebody. Pray for everybody in the church. Mm-hmm. Some are going through some struggles. And some might be going through some things you don't even know about. You have no idea. But if you pray for them, you're lifting them up. Encourage one another. Be there for one another. It's so important how that we need to edify the believers. And I've got a bunch of verses here. We're not going to cover them. But church, this church will either make a go of it or not. My church, we run 225 now. We're actually up since you left, okay? I'm just kidding. But I tell you what, my church will either make a go of it or be defeated and destroyed one day. Doesn't matter the size of the church. It doesn't matter the size of the town. It's still God's church. And we can say, yeah, but the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's as long as God's people are doing what they need to be doing. But if we just sort of throw in the towel or get lackadaisical or apathetic, and we don't support the pastor, and we don't pray for one another, and we're not reaching a lost and dying community, then churches will, can and will die. Brother Tom, over your years, have you ever known of any churches that used to be good churches and they folded up? I've known of some. How'd that happen? Because they're not lifting up holy hands. Themselves, with the pastor, with one another. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to turn the service, the invitation over to Pastor Noah. But church, how important it is that we get this thought today. How important it is that we start lifting up holy hands. I hope you got it. I hope you got it. Brother Noah?
All right, we're going to have a hymn of invitation, and this is your opportunity to respond to God as He has...